Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen. Today, we're busting some stubborn myths. We're talking about the Vikings and what they really looked like.
Exactly. When you look at what movies and TV shows present to us, how should I put this? It's often very creatively interpreted.
Creative is a nice way of putting it. I'm thinking Vikings on the History Channel. Great series, but those guys look like they stepped out of a heavy metal music video.
All those shaved sides, the elaborate braids, the massive tattoos everywhere. That's great for a dramatic effect, but archaeologically speaking, well.
The fascinating thing is that real Vikings, the people from the 8th to 11th century, were actually quite well groomed by all accounts. The image of the unkempt barbarian is completely distorted.
What always fascinates me, where does this idea actually come from? The Vikings were traders, explorers, they had contact with all sorts of different cultures. And the contemporary sources
describe them as quite fashion conscious.
Yes, the Icelandic sagas, for example, which were written down centuries later but are based on oral tradition, give us detailed descriptions. And there are also travel accounts from Arab merchants who encountered the Vikings.
Though we should probably address the elephant in the room, the horned helmets.
Ah, yes, the classic. Perhaps the most famous historical myth of all time.
So, for anyone who doesn't know yet, Vikings did not wear horns on their battle helmets. Ever. There isn't a single archaeological find from the Viking Age that supports this.
The only nearly completely reconstructible Viking helmet was found in 1943 in Jermundbu in Norway, dating from the 10th century. An iron cap with a nose guard, no trace of horns.
And that makes sense when you think about it. In combat, horns on a helmet would be
a huge problem. Your opponent grabs them, pulls the helmet right off your head. Completely impractical.
So, where does the myth actually come from?
That's pretty well documented. In the 19th century, artists started depicting Vikings with horns. The Swedish painter August Malmström, with his illustrations for Fritjof's saga in the 1880s, and then especially Richard Wagner's Ring of the Nibelung in 1876. That's when costume designer Karl Emil Dübler put the Germanic tribes on stage with horned helmets. Pure theatrical props, but the image stuck.
What's interesting is that horned helmets actually did exist. But they're almost 2,000 years older. Bronze Age finds from Denmark around 900 BC.
So long, long before the Viking Age. The Vikings themselves had nothing to do with those helmets.
But back to what we actually know. You mentioned the sagas, the archaeological finds.
Sources for the
appearance of the Vikings, exactly.
The medieval narratives from Iceland, contemporary accounts from travelers and merchants, and then, of course, what has been found in excavations. Clothing remnants, jewelry, tools.
And all these sources paint a fairly consistent picture. The Vikings cared about their appearance. They weren't filthy savages.
Absolutely. And now let's look at this in detail. From hairstyles to clothing to jewelry and personal grooming.
When it comes to hairstyles, things get really interesting. The Vikings actually put considerably more effort into this than you might think.
The cliché of matted barbarian hair is pretty widespread.
But it was actually the opposite. The men often wore their hair long, braided into plaits or elaborately styled up. We can see this on runestones. It wasn't just practical, it was fashion. There's even evidence of specific hairstyles, like a closely cropped back with long hair at the front, though that's more associated with the Normans. This demonstrates a real fashion consciousness.
So deliberate styling, a recognizable pattern, that says a lot about their self-image.
And for the women, it was at least as elaborate. They wore their hair either long and loose or in these intricate braided styles. That takes real work, a complicated braid like that.
It was similar with beards.
There was also a great variety there.
From long, braided beards to shorter, well-groomed styles, beard care was a fixed part of the daily routine.
And here's the exciting part. We have archaeological evidence for this. Masses of grooming tools have been found. Combs made from, well, bone.
And especially antler. And they weren't just functional, they were often beautifully decorated.
That alone shows what importance personal grooming had in this culture. If you're decorating your comb, it's not a disposable item.
What always fascinates me, the monk John of Wallingford wrote in the 13th century, so a good 250 years later, that the Danes bathed on Saturdays and combed their hair daily. Whether that really applied to all Vikings, we don't know, but it shows at least an awareness of hygiene.
For that era, that was, well, almost decadent.
Yeah, and the English complained about it. They said the Vikings were dolling themselves up to have success with English women.
So the Vikings were something like the competition on the marriage market.
But this also illustrates these people were better groomed than many of their contemporaries. Weekly bathing was absolutely not the standard in the early Middle Ages.
And there's more. The traveller Ibrahim ibn Yaqub al-Tartushi, a Sephardic Jew from Al-Andalus, visited Hedebu around 965, one of the most important trading centres. He documented animal sacrifices and women's rites. The often mentioned eye makeup, the sources on that aren't entirely clear.
That certainly puts things in perspective compared to the barbarian clichés we have.
In the graves, alongside the combs, tweezers were also found for hair removal. These were people who took care of their appearance, very deliberately.
Though, to be fair, there were regional differences. The famous account by Ahmad ibn Fadlan about the Rus on the Volga paints a less flattering picture. But those were merchant groups with seasonal camps along the river routes, not as established as the Scandinavian trading centers.
In Scandinavia itself, in the towns and settlements, the standard was apparently much higher. The archaeological finds from Hedebu and other sites show this quite clearly.
And the braiding patterns in hair and beards. There's speculation that they might have indicated something about status or regional affiliation, but that's hard to prove.
What we can say for certain, the Vikings cared about their appearance. It was culturally embedded, not the exception.
When it comes to clothing, things get practical. Because the Vikings had to cope with a Scandinavian climate, and that means harsh winters, cool summers, and lots of moisture.
Accordingly, the materials were carefully chosen. Everything had to work.
Wool, linen, fur. Those were the main fabrics. Wool for warmth, linen for the warmer months, fur as additional insulation in winter.
And wool had another advantage. It keeps you warm even when it's wet. Not exactly unimportant given the weather in Scandinavia.
For men, the basic outfit was relatively... Well, the tunic was the main garment. No, wait, let me start again. Men wore tunics, plus trousers and cloaks. The tunic usually reached to the knee.
And for women, it was dresses and the so-called apron dresses. The apron dress was worn over an underdress and fastened at the shoulders with brooches, those oval fibulas that are found so often in graves.
What always surprises me about the clothing,
The idea that Vikings only walked around in brown and grey is completely wrong.
They actually wore real colours.
Red was very popular, obtained from madder root. Blue from woad, that was more labour-intensive to produce, so also more expensive. Yellow from Dyer's chamomile or birch leaves.
And the colours were naturally also status symbols. Anyone who could afford elaborately dyed clothing was displaying their wealth.
With the brooches, it's interesting, they weren't just
pure decoration, right?
Exactly, they had a real function. Cloaks were held together with brooches. The fibulas at the shoulders held the apron dress in place. This was practical clothing technology.
Women are often found with two large oval fibulas at the shoulders, sometimes with a chain between them, from which other jewelry or tools hung, keys, for example. That was a sign of status, as the lady of the household.
And then the seasonal adaptation. In winter, the clothing got thicker, lined, with fur trim. In summer,
lighter fabrics, more linen instead of wool.
That sounds obvious, but it makes clear that these people put thought into their wardrobe. It wasn't primitive.
What I'm curious about, were there regional differences? Scandinavia is big, after all, from southern Denmark all the way up to Norway.
There were certain variations, but the basic forms were relatively uniform. What differed was the quality of the fabrics and the decorations. A wealthy merchant from Hedeby wore finer wool than a farmer in the interior.
So here again, clothing as an expression of status and identity. That's still true today.
And for festive occasions, it got even more elaborate. Embroidery was added, sometimes even silk, which was imported via trade routes. Byzantine silk in Scandinavian graves, that demonstrates the reach of these trade networks.
Now we come to a topic that always sparks discussion. Tattoos among the Vikings.
That's omnipresent in pop culture too. In every series, the Vikings are tattooed from head to toe.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
And here we need to be careful. The evidence is, well, not as clear-cut as you might think. There are hints, but it's not really confirmed.
The most important source is Ahmad ibn Fadlan, an Arab diplomat from Baghdad. He encountered a group of Rus on the Volga around 922. Those were Scandinavian traders and warriors.
And he described that these men were decorated with dark patterns from the neck to the fingertips. He called them tree patterns.
The problem is, the Arabic word he used was also used for mosque decorations, so geometric patterns. It could be that he saw Nordic interlace patterns or animal ornaments and interpreted them as tree-like.
On top of that, Ibn Fadlan had a clear agenda. To him, the Rus were foreigners, heathens. He simultaneously described them as the filthiest of God's creatures, which contradicts what we know about their grooming habits.
So, a cultural filter in the description?
Possibly. What we have archaeologically is thin. There's no preserved skin with tattoos from the Viking Age. The motifs, runes, animals, mythological figures like Odin or Thor, those are assumptions based on the visual art of that time.
So if Vikings were tattooed, then probably with motifs we also know from their jewelry and carvings. But definitive proof is missing.
With jewelry, on the other hand, we're on solid ground. We have...
There are thousands of finds.
Rings, brooches, pendants, arm rings. The archaeological collections are full of them.
And the craftsmanship is impressive. There's enormous skill in these pieces. The materials ranged from gold and silver to bronze and bone,
depending on wealth.
The different types of jewelry also had different...
More than just decoration, I assume.
Exactly. Arm rings were pure jewelry, but they could also serve as currency. You simply hacked them into pieces, the so-called hack silver.
And then the symbolic meanings. Thor's hammer is the most famous example. The Mjolnir pendant stood for protection and strength, but was also a religious statement.
That becomes especially interesting during the transition to Christianity. Thor's hammers and Christian crosses were sometimes worn side by side. Some casting molds could even produce both.
So a kind of religious transition, visibly worn around the neck?
You could see it that way. Jewelry was an identity marker. It showed not just wealth, but also belonging to a family, a region, a faith.
The detail work on these pieces is truly fascinating. Those interlacing animal motifs, the so-called gripping beast style, these aren't primitive works. This is highly developed art.
And they lasted for centuries. Many pieces were inherited, repaired, passed on. Jewelry was both an investment and a personal expression.
Let's look at physique as well. Viking men were on average about 171 to 174 centimeters tall. That doesn't sound particularly impressive today, but for that time it was above average.
Where did this height advantage come from?
That was mainly due to their diet. The Vikings ate protein-rich food, meat, fish, plus grains and vegetables. Dairy products were important, honey as a sweetener. This combination
was very balanced for the time.
And it led to a robust muscular build. Their active lifestyle did the rest. Farming, seafaring, crafts. These weren't people who sat around much.
Though we shouldn't forget the downsides either. The skeletal finds show typical health problems of the era. Dental issues were widespread, arthritis was common, and of course, injuries from combat.
But that was normal for the early Middle Ages. Overall, the archaeological finds show that the Vikings had comparatively good health.
What always impresses me in my research is the cultural interconnectedness. The Vikings weren't isolated, quite the opposite.
They had intensive contact with all sorts of different cultures. The Celts in the west, the Slavs in the east, and then of course the Byzantines in the south. These interactions definitely influenced their appearance and fashion.
In what way exactly?
Jewelry designs were adopted, clothing styles adapted. Trade brought new materials and techniques to Scandinavia. We already talked about the Byzantine silk found in graves.
Trade was really the engine for this cultural exchange. The Vikings were traders, with connections from the Islamic world all the way to Newfoundland. Arabic silver coins in Scandinavian graves demonstrate this impressively. It's inevitable that you absorb influences.
That really illustrates that the overall picture
is completely different from the cliché.
Exactly what I was going to say. When we look at what we've discussed today, the well-groomed hairstyles and beards, the colorful clothing, the elaborate jewelry, the international connections, none of that fits the image of the unkempt barbarian.
The Vikings were people who cared about their appearance, who knew fashion, expressed status through clothing and jewelry, and who were culturally open to outside influences.
Their appearance was the result of practical needs, cultural influences, and aesthetic preferences. A complex mix, not primitive simplicity.
And that's actually
the fascinating thing about history. When you look closer, the clichés give way to a much more interesting, more nuanced picture.
Yeah, and that's what makes studying it so rewarding.
That's it for today on the topic of Viking appearance. We hope you had fun and learned something new.
If this topic interested you, on the Battle Merchant blog you'll find many more articles on historical topics. And of course, the right products, if you want to dive into the world of the Vikings yourself.
Until next time.
Take care.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your sword sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.